walked along the shores of Galilee. From clay he formed the healing balm that caused the blind to see. When stones of wrath lay heavy in their hands, he knelt to write his mercy in the sand. Jesus came to set the captives free, showed us by the way he lived, the way we need to be. Our love is more than words could ever say. We must touch them with compassion to help them find their way. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? Could we be so busy being saved, trying to impress a world that's long since lost its way? We pride ourselves in being set apart, but we don't have time to touch a broken heart. Even if we found the time to care, would we take the risk involved in always being there? We hold the very thing they need so much. Sometimes the word of God can pass through just one simple touch. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? We hide behind these walls in the security of friends, but beyond the stained glass windows, the world is lost in sin. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we show them Christ if we never show them love? Just to say we care will never be enough. How can we reach a world we never touch? How can we reach a world we never touch?
Amen. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. And we appreciate the young people of the church and the youth ministry. Thank God for that. And a couple of them, seniors this year going to investigate missions for their life. But the truth of the song is we do need to get the gospel out. And that's what our church has been about. But as it also, as the song also said, we can get so secure and safe that we forget to go take it out. And so thank you, ladies, for that reminder. And thank you for singing for us today. I did want to announce to you that next week we'll be looking forward to baptizing some, a couple folks, a few folks, and we're looking for more. If you've been saved but not been baptized, and the Lord's been convicting you of that, you need to be first step of obedience after salvation. One of those things you'll have to pray about. The Lord says be baptized afterwards. And if you've never taken that step of obedience after salvation, then I challenge you to get ready and get with me after service or call the church office, whatever. And we'd love to see that happen. We will see that happen, Lord willing, next Sunday. And if that's something that you need to do, then no time like the present. Get on in, and we'd love to see you do that. Baptism doesn't save anybody, right? Amen? Well, in that kind of church, there are some that teach that, but it doesn't save anybody. But it's the first step of obedience after you get saved. It's what a person, after they get saved, is supposed to follow Christ in believer's baptism. And so I always like for folks to know what it isn't, what it is and what it isn't. But we ought to get involved. Thank the Lord for that. Well, let's get into the Bible, shall we? Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 John. Not the Gospel of John, but 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we'll read the first six verses. And while you're finding your place there in 1 John 4, I did hear this story about this husband and wife. They were out shopping, and they were at some of these outdoor stores, and they had to go to different places, and so they were keeping touch via cell phone. And knew it was getting on toward lunch, and so they'd already said that they would meet together and eat, and so the wife was getting hungry. She called and said, "Hey, where are you at? Well, come over that way. I'll meet you for lunch." And he said, "You remember that jewelry store where I bought that diamond ring for you that you love?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, it's the same one I bought your wedding ring for. Remember?" She said, "Yeah. Yeah, I do remember." He said, "Well, I bought that diamond necklace for you, that one anniversary." She said, "Yeah." And she was liking this all along. And she said, "Yeah, I remember." And he said, "Well, I'm looking at a shotgun at the store right next to that jewelry store. You'll find me there, and then we'll go eat." So, ladies, don't get excited too fast, because he's probably not that good. John chapter 4, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits where they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. Thereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." Verse number 4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them." I love the next phrase. It may be a motto for all of us, "because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." They're of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Sometimes you look at the news, you say, "Man, why on earth why are all these people doing all this crazy stuff?" Read verse 5 again. No, look down at it and read it. They're of the world. Don't be surprised when the world acts like the world. I don't know why all these people are doing all this stuff. Because they're unsaved. You know what surprises me is that saved people don't act like saved people. Not that unsaved people act like unsaved people. That shouldn't surprise at all. They're of the world. Therefore speak they of the world. The world heareth them. We are of God. Verse 6. He that heareth God, knoweth God rather, heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We recognize those things. Verse number 4 says that famous phrase, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." I take my title from there, entitled the message this, "Greater is he." Lord, bless us now is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. What a treasure verse number 4 is. Coronavirus, COVID-19. All of the animosity going on, riots happening, people upset, determining the value of one life over another, cancer in the lives of many people that you love and I love, struggles and heartaches and devastation. We're so far removed from just having a legitimate Christian concern for every other individual, which is what we ought to do. We're in a mess, folks. And we see this mess that's playing out like a big play or a big production on the screen of our nation. And in the midst of all that, I bring to you what is said in verse number 4, greater is He that is in you. And may we take that as our motto. In all of the things that are going on right now, in all the unkindness and racial injustice, you hear words everywhere, you hear these themes over and over and over again, and bigotry and hatred and all of that, can I remind you that in all of those things we need to have as our motto, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You don't have to wonder where some of the things are coming from that we see play out on the television screen. You don't have to wonder where their origin is. The Bible says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer. And all of us should probably know the end of that verse, I have overcome the world. I want to bring to you this message, greater is He, because I see played out in these verses the problem, the promise, and then the blessed action that we get to be involved in after that. I want you to see, first of all, in verses number 2 through 3, the presence of the ungodly. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come, Christ has come in the flesh, is of God. But look in verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. This passage talks specifically of false prophets, of those that are preaching a false gospel, a false narrative, whatever you want to say. That is true, but there are so many other wicked things going on in our world. There are so many things that are happening right now that are totally opposed to everything that we are supposed to stand for as Christians and then as Americans. Liberty and justice for all. And we're not having that. I thought this week as I was trying to prepare, my mamma lived about a half a mile from us. And so I would go up there sometimes and stay too late, walk up there when it's daylight, and then stay up there too late and get dark. And then I'd have to get on home. We had school come the next day or whatever was happening, and I'd have to decide whether to walk down the road, which is a little longer, or you could walk over the hill. But going down the road, sometimes people would come with their headlights and shine it for a little bit and make you feel a little bit better because you see what was going on. All the light, the bright, helped you feel a little more secure. So oftentimes I'd choose that way. But you'd walk down that road. I'd walk down that road, and you hear every noise that's off in the woods, creaks of this and groans and moans and monsters and whatever else is out there. I don't know. You say, monster, where you live? I say, well, where the monsters live, that's where we live. And you got all that, and as you're a kid walking, you start walking faster and faster and faster, and then the headlights would come, then you'd slow down because you don't want to look like a dummy, you know. And then when they'd leave, then you'd walk faster and faster, hoping how fast you could get there. Now, folks, all those were made up in my mind. There weren't monsters, there weren't things going on. But I'm telling you, if you're thinking this morning that there's a lot of wickedness and a lot of moaning and groaning and creatures and monsters out there in this world, you're not making that up. May not be the kind of monsters that I just joked about, but there's a lot of wickedness going on. This passage specifically talked about false prophets and those that need to be, the spirits need to be tried. But that's not the only problem we have in our day and age in which we live in that day as well. There is the presence of the ungodly, the presence of the wicked. There are 24/7 sources that are trying to pump information into you, and much of that information that gets put into you and I, if we're not careful, will absorb it like it's truth, but it's anything but truth. I told a group recently in the other service, you know that everything's on the internet isn't true, right? I mean, I hate to break that news to you. But we've got stuff pumped out at us all over. And that's why the scripture says in verse number 1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Just because something gets told to you may not be the truth just because you heard it somewhere. Do you think that all the programming that's going on TV right now, and when you go home or when I go home, you think that all that programming that's going on is trying to get you to help your spiritual walk? Not on your life. Do you think all the styles and the fashions that are coming out of Hollywood and wherever else, do you think they're striving to make you more decent and modest in the way that you dress and behave yourself? Not on your life. They're doing just the opposite. Do you think the storytelling around the water cooler, as it were, at your work or at your office, do you think all of that is trying to help you build your spiritual life up? Listen, folks, the world, the flesh, and the devil are out to destroy our walk with God. You say, you sound like a conspiracy theorist. I don't know, but there's a conspiracy going on. The world, the flesh, and the devil, our three great enemies, are striving every day to cripple you in your walk for God. If you're unsaved, then the devil is certainly trying to keep a person unsaved. But if you're here and you're named by the name of Christ and you're born again, then Satan is trying to cripple that walk with God, trying to cripple that sweet fellowship that could be there and try to make us miserable. I'm telling you, there's the presence of the ungodly. We need to be on the lookout. We need to be discerners of the time. We need to be those that are able, as the Scripture says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. That just means prove them. Figure out which ones you should be listening to. How many of you understand there's people that you know that your work or your neighborhood, you don't have time to listen to all the garbage they've got to say? Yeah. And it's not good for your spirit. And it's not good for your outlook. And before you know it, you spend too much time on there, you'll be underneath everything just like they are. And you say, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be kind, aren't I? I'm supposed to be a good neighbor. I'm supposed to be kind one to another. That's exactly right. We can be a good neighbor, but we don't have to let our ears be garbage pails. We don't have to let everything that they've got to say come in there and affect us. I'm trying to tell us this morning that there's the presence of the ungodly, but as I quickly get off that point, I see in verse number 4, not only the presence of the ungodly, but praise God, I love this point, there's the power of the Lord. Look at the end of verse number 4 again, that familiar phrase, because greater is He that is in you than he that's in the world. I'm glad to get off that other point because it's enough to depress a person, but when I think about verse number 4, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world, it's reminiscent of Revelation 19:6. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Omnipotent just means all powerful, and He reigneth, Matthew chapter 19, verse number 26, with God all things are possible. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. And to ask the question that the natural, the obvious answer can be said, is there anything too hard for me? And the obvious answer is no. You say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't need to know what you're going through. You haven't heard my whole story. I don't need to hear your whole story. You don't know how bad I've got it. I'm not trying to be unkind. I don't need to know how bad you've got it. I know the one who knows how bad you've got it, and I can't help you anyways, but He can. And so I see there's the presence of the ungodly or the presence of the wicked in this passage, but also in our world. But then I see, praise the Lord, there's the power of God. He's the one that created the world that you live in. He's the one that flung those stars into space. He's the one that parted the Red Sea. He's the one that saved Noah. He's the one that spared Daniel in the lion's den. He allowed David to kill the giant Goliath with only one sling and a rock. He's the one that spared the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. He's the one that came through a virgin's womb. He's the one that rose again in victory over all of death, hell, and the grave. Now remind me, what was our problem again? My point in saying that is, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. The power of the Lord. I used to have this little bike, and some friends of my dad's, friends of my brother, somebody gave me a little headlight that you put on the front handlebars, and had a little generator that had a little wire running down it. We zip tied it to the frame of the bike, and that generator went down on the forks, and it had this little gear that went against the tire. And so as the tire ran, then it turned that gear, and that generated a little bit of electricity, a little bit of power, a little bit of juice, and then it would power that headlight. It had a taillight on the back as well underneath the seat. And you'd be riding that thing just like here, hills up everywhere, and you'd be riding up those hills sometimes. You could barely keep enough speed for that light to shine at all, just like, But sometimes when I get up to the top of the hill, I'd be like I was the king of the mountain. I was on top of it all, and I knew what was coming next. I was getting ready to freewheel down the other side. I didn't have one so fancy that I could, at that point, didn't have one so fancy that I could put my my cogs backwards. I had one, if you pushed it backwards, it put the brake on. So I just hold my feet right there at that whatever positions, and then I just freewheel down the other side of that hill. And then that generator would be zinging around there, and that light would just be shining out. I had all the power I needed. And my friend, this world is dark, but you have all the power that you need. You may be as if you're pulling up that other side and the way is tough and it seems like your strength is gone. You may be feeling like that right now this morning, but I'm talking about the reserve of power that you have and that I have is as if we were on the other side and we've got plenty of generated power because we've got the power of the Lord. Greater is He that's in you. The Lord God omnipotent, He doth reign. He is the one that's still on the throne. And Jesus Christ is still King of kings and Lord of lords. And all of the wickedness that's going on in our society now, we aren't bowing to anybody except for the Lord Jesus Christ. We aren't putting our confidence in a man. We're not putting our confidence in a program. We're putting our confidence in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm telling you, the power of the Lord, that's the only power source we've got. And can I tell you this? That's the only one you need. You say, all right, preacher, that's good, but how does that help me for Monday? I understand that that's preacher rhetoric. I got it. Okay, we got it. But now how does that help me on my job on Tuesday? Well, I'm glad you ask. Because the Bible says in verse number 6, look back down if you will, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that's not of God heareth not us. So there's a difference there between those that are named by the name of Christ, know the Lord as our Savior, and those that don't. Look at the last sentence. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I told you about the presence of the wicked or the presence of the ungodly and the power of the Lord, but I give you my last one here to say this. I want you to see the perception of the saints. Not only do we have the power listed in verse number 4, greater is He, but now we also have the discernment and the knowledge to avoid evil. That's what the last phrase says. Look at it. He says, we know, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We have the ability to tune into an extra frequency, if you want to say it that way. Some of y'all have satellite radio in your car. You can just listen to it. You don't have to worry about going from picking up this station. Then you got to drive so far. A lot of times salesmen that are in their car, road warriors, they just have satellite radio. They can just pick it up and they can keep it all the way everywhere around the nation. Well, we've got an extra frequency that we pick up as well. I'm not talking about you got a little extra special juice. I'm talking about when you got saved. The Bible says that the Lord enters you. The Bible says that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And now He says that the Holy Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance. Yes, He also convicts you when you get yourself in trouble and when you get yourself in sin. Yes, He does that. But He also leads you and He guides you and He convicts you and He shows you. My friend, we've got the Holy Spirit of God. And as the Holy Spirit of God shows us, He shows the Spirit of truth. He shows us, my spirit bears witness with His Spirit. And we see the Spirit of truth. And the Bible says, end of verse 6, we see the spirit of error. Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16 says this, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." You say, "I preach you, I tell you, just keep on getting more and more and more and more trouble." Are you trying to walk in the Spirit? So I just keep falling right down in the mud puddle. Well, are you trying to avoid the mud puddles while you're walking? Are we trying to walk in the Spirit? Sometimes it's amazing what we pass off for walking in the Spirit. Oh yeah, I prayed about that. Sometimes I think that when people say that, if God didn't strike them down with the lightning immediately, they'd say, okay, God said it was okay. God, you want me to buy this car that costs as much as my yearly income? He didn't say no, so I guess I will. How many of you understand it's a bad idea? But just because God doesn't strike you down with leprosy right then doesn't mean that He said okay. Like this one fella, he brought a dozen donuts to work. He'd been trying to really fight his weight and His co-worker said, I thought you were on a diet. What are you doing with those donuts? He said, well, I prayed and told God if he wanted me to bring these, he'd put a parking spot right there in front of the donut shop, right in front of the bakery. And they said, wow, you must really have a walk with the Lord. He said, it's amazing. He said, it only took me 14 trips around the block to find there was a spot right in front of that bakery. That's not being led of the Spirit. We're not trying to twist something and say, well, God must have led me. And I'm afraid that sometimes our Christian walk, we try to pass a lot of stuff off. It's, oh yeah, I prayed about it. My friend, I hope you get to a place in our life. I hope all of us get to a place in our lives where we walk in the Spirit and we truly, with a almost disinterested opinion, say, Lord, you show me what you want me to do. And then pick your Bible up and read. And let the Spirit of God lead you. Hereby know we the Spirit of truth. And we know the spirit of error. We know what we're supposed to avoid. I want us to wait on God in prayer. You know those things that you said you shouldn't have said? You say, which one? Just pick one. I don't care which one. I believe many of those, if we'd have prayed about, Lord, do you want me to get in that conversation or not? The Lord would have shut that down if we'd only ask Him. If you don't remember it, ask your wife. She remembers what you shouldn't have got, what conversation you shouldn't have got involved in. She heard you make a fool of yourself too. I believe the Spirit wants to lead us. And guys, this is not spooky stuff. This is not, weird stuff. This is just being led of the Spirit. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God. I've got great news as I conclude this morning. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. In this ungodly world, the presence of evil seems to be everywhere. Don't lose heart, my friend. Don't let the news get you down. Don't let everything that's happening get you to so place. Well, I just don't know we can recover. You and I, we're going to last as long as God wants us to last. One pastor asked a lady, how you doing, church member? She said, oh, pretty good under the circumstances. He rebuked her just a little bit. He said, now, you're saved, right? Yeah. Know the Lord, right? Yeah. On your way to heaven, yeah. And he said, what in the world are you doing under the circumstances? Said, if Jesus is your Savior, you ought to be above those circumstances because He's had victory over all of those. Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. So this morning, that good news I give you is greater is He. You've been watching negative news? I mean, I don't know there is any positive news. Like one fellow said, they start off the news presentation by saying good evening, and then they begin to tell you why it isn't. I don't know there is any good news. It's all news, all bad news. You hear all that. You watch all that. If you're not careful, we'll get down under those circumstances like that dear lady told the pastor. But I'm here to tell you, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, this world should trouble you. The things that you see should worry you. Because you, my friend, don't have the presence of the Lord in your life. Oh, you may know about Him. You know, may have been hurt hearing about Him all your life, but you don't have the Lord as your Savior. Jesus said, I'll never leave you. God said, never leave you nor forsake you. And you need that promise, my friend, if you're not saved. So this morning, if you're saved, I'm not saying don't watch the news. Some of you wouldn't know what to do with the other seven more hours of your day if you didn't watch the news. I'm not telling you not to watch it. I'm just telling you as you watch it, remember, greater than he is He that's in you than he that's in that world. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. And I pray for every person in this room, before we get out of here, that you'd say, do some business with the Lord and privately, quietly in your heart where you and God know what's going on in the midst of all the things that are happening in your life, you would repeat to the Lord, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And we'd be agreeing with God and we agreeing with 1 John 4, chapter 4, verse number 4. Greater is He. You say, yeah, but my cousin's got cancer. Greater is He. Yes, but my sister got divorced and I never thought that would happen to them. Greater is He. But you say, yes, but we've got some great financial strain coming and some of it's our fault and some of it isn't. Greater is He that's in you. You say, yes, but I made a horrendous mess of myself, of this life. Greater is He. Yes, but you don't understand. It was all my fault. Greater is He that's in you. I'm just telling this morning. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that you bless my friends this morning. I pray that we would go out of here repeating, rehearsing this wonderful truth. Greater is He. And folks, as we begin to play, the instruments begin to play in just a moment. When you hear them, would you stand to your feet with me as we begin to have the invitation time. Here's my invitation. If you're beat down, misused, abused, mistake laden, problems that you caused or somebody else caused, you've been so low that you haven't been able to pick your head up, greater is He. You've got a brother that's turned his back on your family, greater is He. You've got a wayward son that you could not believe growing up in your house that he'd be living the way he is, greater is He. You've made a mess of your marriage. As a matter of fact, you've made a mess of a couple. Let me ask you to pick your head up and just say, greater is He that's in you. He that's in the world. I'm not trying to give you a pep talk. I'm just trying to give you a Bible talk. It's time that we as Christians, blood-bought believers, realize and remember and remind ourselves, greater is He that's in us. He's in the world. Coronavirus, riots, bigotry, racism, divorce, families broken up, deadbeat dads and non-existent family structures. Greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. If you're here this morning and you're saved, would you remind yourself of that? Oh, you don't have to be loud and boisterous, but remind yourself of that right now. Would you quietly, silently in your heart? Lord, that's right. Greater is He. You're greater. Would you say that in your mind, in your heart? As a prayer and as a praise the Lord, God, you're greater. Whatever problem's facing me, God, you're greater. Greater is He. Now as they continue to play, if you're here and you're not saved, you need what I just preached. Not that you needed me to preach it. I'm saying you need the truth of that to realize that whatever's going on in your life, you're not capable in yourself to take care of it. If you're lost and in your sins, would you simply step out and come? Don't worry about being embarrassed. Don't worry about what others would think. I'd certainly rather face a little bit of embarrassment now, if that's what it is, than I would face an eternity without Christ. If you're here, you're not saved, you're not sure you're saved, you have doubts about it, you want to get it shored up, would you step out and come? Somebody's right here in front of the pulpit that I preach from. I'd like to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure that you're on your way to heaven. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you've never been baptized. There's some that have already talked to me. We're planning next week to do that. But if you're not those ones and you're saved, but you've never followed Christ in believer's baptism, would you step out and come? Might as well sign up. Get it done next week. You say, oh, what will people think? Well, I don't know. I know what I'll think. I'll think, praise the Lord, for somebody taking the step of obedience. Saved but not baptized, would you step out and come? Would you come and just make your wishes known that I'd like to follow Christ? You say, why do you say it, follow Christ? Because John the Baptist baptized Jesus and we're supposed to follow Him.